us to God, that we might have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son. And brethren, let's, like I said, God forbid that we let anything get in between us and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 tonight, we're going to pick up at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11. Now, you know, we've looked at the last couple of Sunday nights about the different things that the children of Israel fell into and caused their destruction. Murmuring and fornication and the different things that they went through in the wilderness and the Bible warns you and I of. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, the Bible says this, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say." Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray you'll instruct us and guide us and direct us tonight. Give us what we need. May we be attentive and may we be obedient. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. The Bible says this, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples." Now, what are the things he's talking about? Well, he's talking about the things in verses number 6 through verses number 10, where we read, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." We looked at that. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now we looked at those things the last 4 or 5 weeks or so. Brethren, those things were written down. Those things were recorded for you and I to be ensamples to us. Now the word ensample in the dictionary means this. It means an example. It means a pattern or a model for imitation. Now brethren, listen. Either we learn from an example or we become an example. Alright? You need to go ahead and get that. Either you and I learn from the example that those who have gone before us have went through. Either we learn from that example, or rather, we become an example. Either you learn from what the Word of God gives you, or you learn from what others have gone through, and you profit from that, and you make differences and changes in your life accordingly, or else you become the example. The wrong example. I've said it before, brethren, I do not want to end up being an illustration in some man's sermon. By God's grace, I don't want that to happen. And so, brethren, those things were written down. Listen, those things aren't just stories there for you and I. Listen, those were written that you and I might learn what the children of Israel went through in the wilderness journeys and the wanderings there, and that you and I would benefit from that and not make the same mistakes that they did. You either learn from the example or you become an example. And let me ask you something. Must it be that the saints of God always learn the hard way? It doesn't have to be that way. That's not the way the Lord would have it. But so very often, brethren, it seems we don't learn except for the hard way. In fact, I'll tell you something, brethren. Sometimes the saints don't even learn the hard way. But brethren, that's not how it should be. Verse number 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition." The word admonition means this. It means instruction in duties. It means caution. It means direction. It means counseling against a fault. Those things were written to admonish you and I, to teach us, to counsel us, to keep us from falling prey to the same things. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 13, you'll find this. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 13. The Bible says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king." who will no more be admonished. That's fact, brother. The Bible says a poor and wise child is better than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. In other words, he won't learn anything anymore. You can't teach him anything anymore. You can't show him anything. You know the old phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Brother, I don't know about old dog, but that better not happen with you and I. Brother, until God pulls you out of here, you ought to be willing to learn. You ought to be willing to be admonished as the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will direct you and guide you and point out things in your life and show you things that you need. Listen, brethren, till the day we pull out, we ought to be willing to receive admonishment. God forbid that we be labeled an old and foolish person who can no longer be taught anything, who can no longer be shown anything. All right? Just set in your ways, and I done know it all, and that's it. You're on the way down when you get to that point. Brethren, listen. Brother Lee told me one time, he said, by the time he hit 40, you know, thought he had it together, he said, Brother Dawson, I learned more from 40 to 50 than I had learned in the previous 40 years. He said, then I learned more from 50 to 60 than I had learned before that. And I guess from 60 to 70. I mean, in other words, brethren, look here. You think, well, I know a little something now, brethren. You'll still be learning things or getting it or trying to apply what you've seen. Just let God bring you along and run that course faithfully that He's laid out for you. Don't get to the point. Don't ever get to the place that you can't be told anything. Don't get to the place that you can't be instructed. Don't get to the place that you think you know it all. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says, Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, look at this, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now I think it's very interesting how that's worded. Notice he didn't say upon whom the end of the world has come, but upon whom the ends of the world are come. Take your Bible. Keep your hand in 1 Corinthians 10, because that's going to be our main text tonight. But go over to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. And in Hebrews 9, I want you to notice something. Hebrews 9 and verse 26. Hebrews 9 and verse 26 says this. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says this, For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now that happened 2,000 years ago. But it's referred to as now once in the end of the world. Alright? I mean, like Paul spoke of, being in the last days, and John did. But if they were in the last days, and no doubt were in the last moments, seconds, however you want to term it. We're getting close. But brethren, our text in 1 Corinthians says, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The ends of the world. Now the word end means this in the dictionary. It means the ultimate point or theme at which one aims or directs his views. It also means the object intended to be reached or accomplished by any action or scheme. So, have you ever heard the phrase, have you ever heard this phrase, Well, tie up some loose ends. Listen, brethren, I believe the ends are getting ready to be tied up. You see, the definition of end is the ultimate point or thing at which one aims or directs his views. The object intended to be reached or accomplished by any action or scheme. Check it out, brethren. You and I are in the day and hour that all, listen, the ensamples, the patterns have gone before us. It's all down there now. Now we're to learn from it. Don't you understand? They were the ones acting out on this stage of life. They were the ones going through this. And these things were written down for you and I to learn from. Reaching this ultimate point of culmination to where all the patterns are down there now. We're to learn from it because we're in the time where the ends are getting tied up. Brethren, I'll put it to you this way. So much that in your Bible is type, we're approaching the fulfillment of. Are you with me? Listen, 2,000 years ago, all the types of the Lamb of God were fulfilled when Jesus Christ went to that cross. But now in your Bible, you've got types. Listen, you have in your Bible types of Antichrist. types of the second coming of Christ. So you have all these types. You know what, brethren? Now those types are moving quickly toward fulfillment. And I'll tell you something, brethren. Look at where we're at. We're in a day and an age to where do you go from here now? Where do you go now from here? You know the phrase, been there, done that? Where do you go? Look at the brethren, you're now at a time to where what's fashionable, what's not. I mean, it's anything. There's not anything much new for sure coming up. Anything goes. I mean, you had a hairstyle associated with the 50s, and a hairstyle associated with the 60s, and I guess a hairstyle associated with the 70s, but you know, now you've started moving toward anything. Anything. I really believe the ends are getting tied up. You see, brethren, I really believe that all the earth has gone through up to this point have been dry runs getting ready for the real thing. Let me give you an example. If you study what happened in Nazi Germany, I really believe that was a dry run for the ultimate culmination when the Antichrist comes. I believe what you saw happen in Germany, Nazi Germany, in Russia, in isolated countries, it's going to be, the thing of it is, those are like dry runs for a worldwide event that's going to take place. Someone said, I'd like to find out more about it. I believe Brother Ruffin said, I think they got a copy of it or something like that. Hitler's ID card was 555. So the next one is your boy, 666. That is interesting. That is. I really believe a lot of stuff was dry runs, so to speak. Don't get me wrong. All part of prophecy, yes, but for the ultimate fulfillment of that time Jesus Christ spoke of, that He said there's never been a time like it, nor will be. That time of tribulation. But you know, we're looking to pull out of here. We're looking for Christ Jesus to come and get us out of here. And then after that time to come back here and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. We see this set up in the Bible. I just believe, brethren, we're approaching the time when the ends are getting tied up. Those that went before us were patterns. They were in samples. They were types. We are culmination. And I said all that to say this. We have no excuse. We have no excuse. You see, brethren, we have the types, we have the examples, we have the patterns laid down in Scripture. Hey, the canon of Scripture is done. Amen, it's done. We got it all, man. Out there in your King James Bible, from beginning to end, we got it. Genesis, Revelation, it's done. It's all laid out there for us for a pattern now. The big question is, will we learn from it? Are we going to take those types, those examples, and that pattern and learn from it and make application? Brethren, I'll tell you something. I believe a heavy load of responsibility is laid upon you and I. Especially those of us who live in America. We have so much access to the Word of God. Yet, what are we doing with it? Those things were... Brethren, look here. When I've been preaching here on Sunday mornings to us out of Exodus, brethren, that's not just something to preach on. You and I are supposed to take the wilderness journeys of the children of Israel and apply that to our life and learn from it. That we don't fall in the same pitfalls that they fell into. Take your Bible and go with me, please, to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3 again. But we've not got any excuse. Man, it's laid there for us. It's laid out there for us to learn from. To benefit from. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3, look at verse number 15. Look what the Bible says. That which hath been is now. Ain't that the truth? And that which is to be hath already been. Now look at this. And God requireth that which is past. Now there's a lot of ways, yeah, I believe you could go with that verse, but I want to make an application. I want to make a devotional application with it to you this night. God requireth that which is past. But I want to tell you something. I really believe what's written down there in that book and the experiences that the people in the Bible went through, I believe God's going to require that of you and me. He's going to require that you and I learn that, learn from that, and not fall in the same pitfalls. I believe that's required of us. Just like if you gave someone a lesson in a class, and you said, all right now, it's going to be required of you to know pages such and such through such and such. That you're going to be required to know that. You're going to be required to be familiar with that tomorrow when you perform this task or when you take this test. It's going to be required of you. Brother, look here. I believe God requires some things of us. We have access to that book, and I believe God requires it of us to be faithful and responsible with that. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. I've said it before. You may get tired of me saying it, but You're never going to regret. Listen, something you'll never regret in heaven is time spent in your Bible. A lot of things you may regret, but you're never going to regret. You never have to repent of time spent in your Bible. All right, 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore? Wherefore? I mean, brethren, in light of that, in light of the fact that we've got those in samples before us, in light of the fact that they're written for our admonition, in light of the fact that that upon us are come the ends of the world, in light of all that, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Notice it did not say, wherefore let him that standeth. It said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What is it that he's supposed to take heed to? What are you and I supposed to take heed to? To the examples and the ensamples given to us in God's Word. Examples like we just read in verses 1 through 10. The examples we've been going through here on Sunday night in 1 Corinthians 10. You and I are to take heed to those things lest we fall. The children of Israel lusted after evil things. They murmured. They committed fornication. They were idolatrous. Brethren, you and I are to learn from that and not fall after that same wrong example. We're not to do that. We're to take heed to those things. Brethren, all that's there, that's written for our admonition, all that in there, you and I are to take heed to that. Why? So that we don't fall. So that we don't fall. Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And brother, let me tell you something. It seems false or false. Brother, I tell you, it scares me. I don't mean going around, you know, shook up, and don't throw this on me, you know, well, you're not supposed to be afraid of your child. What I mean by scares me is, brethren, it scares me in the right way when you see folks that are falling and going to the wayside. Men that I believe are good men, men that love the Lord, but yet you're seeing things happen and going to the wayside. That's a frightening and scary thing. Let me tell you something, brethren. You're not done till you depart this life. Wouldn't it be a shame, brethren, would it not be a shame to run a good race and lose it the last day of your life? Wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine running a good race for 50 years and the last day of your life blowing it? Someone has said, it ain't how you start out, it's how you finish. Brother, you know what we're looking for? Listen, brethren, we're not done. Listen, that battle's not over. And I don't believe the devil draws back from the fight until that final breath is drawn out and done. Now, you're not relieved from duty till your spirit departs that body and you're home to be with Jesus. You are not relieved from duty. And you and I better report every day and be armored up. And brethren, it's not how good... Let me tell you something. You may have messed up. You may have messed up and made a mess of things. Well, praise God, you're still alive. Pick up. Don't worry about the past. Let's go on now. You may have done good to this point, but you can't live in the past. You've got the finish line ahead. Brother, what good is it to lead? What good is it to lead in most of the race and then fall behind and lose it in the last lap? What counts is the man who crosses the finish line, right? I mean, the guy who crosses the finish line first. You don't just say, yeah, but you know what, man? You know what? Hey, but I was ahead most of the race. And you tell them to get laughed out of someplace. They're going like, what? Yeah, I was ahead most of the race. But you lost. Yeah, you evidently didn't have enough to finish it. Yeah, but I was, yes, yeah, real, that's good, real good. Who's got the victory? You know, brother? See, that's the thing. Brethren, it's not how good you've been running so far. It's finishing that thing up. Brethren, we're not finished up till we're done. So, Brother Austin, I'm tired right now. The Bible says be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The power of His might. I know, brethren, that's why you need to renew yourself in the Word of God. You need to get a hold of the Lord and you need to get some help from Him. But we want to finish this thing out right. We want to cross that finish line. We want to happen to run a well-run race. Keep the faith and finish our course and fight a good fight. Proverbs 28, look at me please, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. You know what? Some folks get saved and they've been so far out in sin that they've got a holy indignation against sin and they've got a righteous fear against sin. Man, they run from sin. But you know what? After a couple of years, the heart gets kind of hardened. they don't have that good, healthy fear of sin anymore. And they're in danger. The Bible says, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let me quote something to you. It has been said that a Christian's motto should be caveendo tutus. What did you say? I'm going to tell you what it says. It says a Christian's motto should be caveendo tutus. And here's what it means. Never safe, but when wary and watchful. A Christian's motto, it said, should be caveendo tutus. And that means a Christian is never safe except when he's wary and watchful. I know we're eternally safe and secure in Christ. I know that. I'm talking about your walk here and finishing your course. You're never safe unless you're on, in other words, you're wary and you're watchful and you're looking and you're on guard. If you coast, brethren, somebody's going to take you out. I told you, Wayne Walker, I read that book, Wayne Walker, linebacker in the 60s. Jerry Kramer for the Green Bay Packers. They used to be roommates. Kramer was coming down the field. And what happened was Wayne Walker noticed he was coasting. He was coasting. He said he was cruising. He slacked off. The play was about done. He hit him so hard they had to take him out of the game. That was his buddy. The devil ain't your buddy. And he will hit you hard. All right? And here's what I said. Let me explain to you. Let me tell you how he wants to hit you. You see, listen to me, brethren. Sin won't take you out of the race. Huh? Nope, sin won't take you out of the race. Every one of us knows some people, some believers who have fallen into sin. Hey, it's affected things they could once do for the Lord, but they got it right and they still serve God. All right? So sin didn't take them out of the race. That's what the blood was shed for. Here's what sin does. It gives the devil legal opportunity and ground to torment your mind and taunt you and discourage you and get you despondent. To say, look at you. You're trash. You can't do any good. You'll never serve God. You're a waste case. And just keep you down. He wants to pop you and pop you good. He's not going to... Sin doesn't take you out. That's what the blood of Christ was shed for. You get it out of the blood, you can repent of it, you get it right and go on. But the devil wants to mess with your mind, tell you you're nothing, tell you you're useless, tell you you can't serve God, and so you'll just quit and give up and do nothing for the Lord. You can't afford to coast. You can't afford to cruise. You can't afford to go light. Brethren, you can't afford to slow up and say, well, I can kind of go easy on prayer, Bible reading, or this, that, and the other, or watching. I've lived for God now a number of years, and I know how the devil works, and I'm pretty safe. Ooh, you're in danger. Ooh, you're in danger. Man, that was Jerry Kramer. Yeah, but you ever notice, like, you know, a rookie in anything, they're always on guard, man. They're doing their best. They're trying to, but you know, after a while, you get kind of where you feel like you can read the situation and you coast up. That's when somebody will take you out. You got to stay constantly vigilant and constantly diligent, like your Bible tells you to, brethren. You can't get to the point. Let me tell you something. You take sexual matters. I heard an old preacher say, he said, it's a battle for a man when he's 20, when he's 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. How about that? That means you get to the point and think you can coast. You better not. Better not. You better stay on your guard continuously at all times. All right, listen. Take heed. It says here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Take heed lest he fall. Thinketh. That person that thinks he's standing. The word think in the dictionary means this. It means to imagine, to suppose, to fancy. See, you may think you're standing. When in truth, brethren, you're not. It's the Lord holding you up. It ain't you. It ain't you. You don't have it in you to run this race for God. Let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ saved you and then said, okay, now it's all on your ability, you wouldn't last half a day. And you're a fool to think that you would. You wouldn't last half a day. There ain't no way. You can't do it. It's the Lord holding you up. And you need to realize your dependency on Him. Go to the book of Jude. Jude, and verse 24, look what it says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And did you see that? It says, none of Him that's able. Listen, the Lord's able to keep you from falling. But don't you think that's just going to automatically happen. He's able to. He's got the power and the might and the strength to keep you from falling. But brother, listen. Christ is able, but you must trust in His strength and not your own. Okay? He's able to keep you from falling. But if you go out here and trust to your own strength and take matters in your own hands and don't heed the Word of God and don't stay vigilant and diligent, you're going to fall. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Christ is able to keep you from falling, but you must not trust in your own strength. You must not say, I can handle this. I'll be all right. I've done good so far. That ain't nothing. That ain't no problem. Brethren, there's a spirit of bravado sometimes that people get that is dangerous. That ain't nothing. You know what? They're trusting to their own ability. Brethren, I tell you what, you ought to have a healthy fear of sin. You ought to have a healthy fear of yourself and how bad you really are. And it don't take long, brethren, for you to find out that without God and His strength and you doing right by Him and you depending on Him for strength, you don't know how bad off you can get. It can be a pretty ugly scene. Listen, the same brokenness that brought you to salvation is the same attitude that will keep you close to the Savior and keep you from falling. See, when you got saved, you were broken toward God. You were humbled down. And that same attitude is what's going to take to keep you close to the Lord, to keep you to where you don't, I can handle this one. I can walk on my own here. No, you stay good and tight and good and close. That same spirit of brokenness will keep you close to the Lord and keep you from falling. You know what the Bible says? He that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You need to just stay good and low. I've heard that a soldier's best position, best fighting position, is down flat on the ground. You're safest there. I mean, you know, when you're bolt upright, you make a pretty good sized target. Or when you're leaning that. But you know, prone, about the safest you can get. And brethren, spiritually, prone is about the safest you can get. Just get down low, stay low, give all the glory to God, and be wary of getting lifted up or taking pride and glory and credit for yourself. Take your Bible, go back here to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Let me say this to you also, brethren. Just because you haven't fallen, doesn't mean you won't. Again, brethren, if you've served Christ for 60 years, you're not done till the day you depart this life. Now I'm telling you. You're not done till the day you depart this life. Just because you haven't fallen doesn't mean that you won't. You know what the devil may be doing? He may be using you to lure others into danger and then spring the trap on you in the end. Check it out. The devil may be letting you get real close to things, getting real close to wrong things, or riding the fences, or getting close to the edge, or maybe even participating in things that you shouldn't. And nothing's happened to you. Nothing's happened to you. Do you know what he's doing? He's just letting you maybe have, lead you, bring you along, so that others can follow you in the same trap and destroy their life, and then finally spring the trap on you. It's like I told you, in the sheep industry, they have a Judas sheep, they call him, a Judas sheep. And that Judas sheep is usually a bellwether. I think it's usually a castrated male, I think, a little bellwethers. And what they do with that sheep is, they take that one, and your sheep will follow. They follow in the sheep, man. They follow. And they'll get that one to come up the chute, and all the other sheep come behind him. At the last minute, he'll turn off on side thing. They keep going, though, and bloop, 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 they fall down in. Oh, they get him right there. I mean, it's called a Judas sheep. And they'll all follow him to their destruction. Listen, brother. You might be saying, well, everything must be okay, you know, nothing's happened to me. The devil may be playing you for a chump. And your house of cards is going to fall down. You don't play games with sin. You don't play games. Listen, you never win with sin. Never, ever, ever. And I want to tell you something. If you can go out here and sin and get away with it for a good while, you need to ask whether or not you belong to God. The Bible said if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then are you bastards, not sons. I mean, that's something to check on there in itself. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, how about that? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The word temptation means enticement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, brethren, the devil hasn't had to pull out some special thing for you. No temptation is going to happen that ain't common to man. Alright? It's not that, well, he's really working with it. No, no, no. No. Same old things that's worked from the beginning. Same thing he uses on you and me. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Same temptations. But there ain't no new sins. There ain't no new sins. There ain't nothing new, brethren. Do you know something? One time I was in the library, and I saw a book on Pompeii. About the destruction of Pompeii. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I opened it up and looked at it, and I said, okay, enough of that. I found out probably why God destroyed Pompeii. Brethren, there were the most vulgar, nasty, dirty murals that they had in that place that you can imagine. Brethren, I mean pornographic to the max. Those were murals painted around. Alright? I mean, I was like, oh, Pompeii, man, it's interesting. I wonder how that thing. And I was like, goodbye there. Okay, don't need that one right there. Hey, and no doubt, I see why it fell. Why God destroyed that place. But there ain't nothing new. There ain't nothing new. There's not. Alright? Look here. First James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But also the Bible says God tempted Abraham. You've got to understand the definitions of temptation. God didn't tempt Abraham with evil. He was trying to test him. What we're talking about here in James is tempting with evil. God tempts no one with evil. And God can't be tempted with evil. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived. You know, when someone conceives, they bring forth a baby. When lust conceives, it brings forth a child too. It brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now listen. You can be tempted with something and yet have it not tempt you. Is that all right, Brother Austin? You're talking crazy. I can't even understand. No, you understand what I'm talking about. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you have to be tempted. Explain. I will. Brother Phil, let's just suppose, brother, that I have something in here. I don't know, Brother Phil. It has something to do with trucking. That'll apply to you here, wouldn't it? All right, I've got something here, brother, and I'm trying to tempt you with it. Hey, Phil. See that one? Yeah. Give me some money, bud. I think maybe wouldn't you like to have that, Phil? Would you like to have that? I'm tempting you. But then you know what? If your heart's in the Word of God like it's supposed to be, if your mind's on God and you're paralyzed, though I'm tempted you, if your heart's right, you can say, get out of here with that stuff. You're not tempted. Though I am tempting you, though you are tempted in one aspect, you're not. Though you're tempted outwardly by someone, you're not tempted in your heart. So you see, brother, look here. This world's going to throw temptations out at you. But it doesn't. It's not going to pull you and draw you if your heart's where it needs to be. Alright? If your heart's where it needs to be. Now, and hold on time out with this thing. You say something like this, a lot of times people leave and they're like, well, good night, I wonder if I'm even saved then. I might as well blow my brains out. I can't even go before God. Because I'm fighting a battle every week and I can't take it. Hold on. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Alright? Now, I've had young men talk to me and say, well, Brother Doss, I'm trying not to look at women, and I'm not trying. And I said, wait a minute. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I asked this one fellow, I said, are you out ogling women? No, I'm not doing that. I said, you're grabbing them up and pouring. No, I'm not doing that. I said, so what's the problem? Well, these women are all kind of half. Yeah, and you see them, and probably the part of you says, that is a beautiful woman. That's not sin. That's just normal. It's sin when you go to consciously look there to lust after. Jesus said, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her. Is that your purpose? Brethren, you can't help things that catch your eye. You can't help that. Especially the day and hour we're in. The way people... Listen, the mode of dress today is designed to catch your eye. If you're normal, it will catch your eye. Alright? But it is so bad. It is so bad. And what are you going to do? You can't do anything about it. It is so bad that sometimes when you go down the road and some half-clad woman walks by, you're scared to death to look for oncoming traffic because you're afraid the guy behind you is going to think you're looking at that woman. I'm serious, man. It just, you know, or there's a billboard somewhere and you're like, well, is traffic coming? You're like, oh, man, I hope that guy behind me don't think I'm looking at that billboard. You know, and it's a bad luck there to try to live for God and do right. It is. Because not only you're trying to do right, you're open to what thinks you're doing wrong. Not even do the best you can do, but listen, what I'm telling you is listen. A temptation is not sin. It is yielding to it, and it is giving into it that is sin. Phil, look here. Suppose this was, I don't know, Phil. It's something, you know, I'm trying to pull out illustrations out of my head tonight. It's something that I have in my hand, something that you really, you know, it could get to your heart, man. It's something you like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and you might even notice it and say, wow, that's not, you know, I say, hey, Phil, how about it? If you'll do this for me, do that. You know, you can have it, Jimmy, yours. Or, you know, maybe, you know, go into debt to get it or this, that, and the other. But you know, Phil, look here. Again, I'm tempting you with it. That's not your fault. Or you can say, you know, that's nice right there. But Phil, if you go and say, hey, you know what? I don't need that stuff. If you deal with it, you've not sinned. Now, if you go and start getting it on your mind and thinking about it all the time, if you go and try to figure out ways to get it, if you go, now we've got a problem. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her? I asked the young man one time, I said, well, man, are you grabbing women? Are you laying with them? Are you out there? Oh, no, preacher, I'm not doing that. I said, what's the problem? Well, I said, yeah, you noticed something. I said, but man, you can't help but notice you got to live in this world. You cannot go around like that right there. But I said, if you're going back and looking again, and you're constantly trying to do it, nah, that's sin, man. That's sin you got to deal with between you and the Lord. All right? But understand, listen, the way to be tempted and yet not be tempted is to have your thoughts and your mind on God. And the guys always say, look here, Luke, Ben, Brother Chris, your boys there, and Aaron, and everybody else's boys there, and your girl too, the way it gets today. Let me tell you something, you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to, when you're young, trap your mind with nasty things. So that when you get older and you're saved, the devil can say, let's go to the old computer bank.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the old computer bank and let's let him see something out there that'll bring back, you know, something out here, you know. Alright? He wants you to indulge in things, pornographic things or this, that, and the other, so that, hey, if he can get the damage done when you're young, fine. But that's okay. If he can't, that's so fine. He'll use it as weight to use on you when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. All right? You got to understand, the devil hates you. He hates you. He wants you trapped. He wants sin in your life. He wants to mess you up. Where you want a good day with God and your family, he wants you to have a rotten day. And if he could, he'd get you in hell in a minute if he could. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ protecting you, he'd get you in hell in a minute if he could. And he wants you dead. And he wants, listen, he wants things messed up for you. He wants things messed up for you, man. He wants things so tore up. And he wants to put that stuff in you when you're young. So, listen, so he can draw on it when you're older. See, if he can ruin you as a child, he wants to do that. But you know, at least he's like, I got an ace in the hole, man. Because if they do get saved, I still got something I can draw on. Man, guys, that's why you need to hate sin. You need to hate it. You need to have a vicious, violent hatred toward sin. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Let me tell you something. There's no doubt many a young man walking around because he was in high school and he got peer pressure to look at and to do ungodly things with his body such as that. And you know what? He got trapped and the devil's now messing with him. I'm telling you! The devil used peer pressure. He used all kind of things. Oh, listen, mom and dad. Well, if they listen, by trying to keep your family pure, you know why you're helping them? Listen, you're not just helping them now young. You're going to help them 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Amen.
Praise God, there won't be some things they're wrestling with that maybe you had to wrestle with.
Right.
There'll be some battles you got to contend with. Praise God, you're giving them some liberty, some freedom. Youngsters, you're not missing out when you don't indulge in sin. You're providing freedom for yourself 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Amen.
That's a fact. And your mom and dad knows that. You need to listen to that. Because the devil wants any kind of ace in the hole, any kind of thing he can get on you. Kids, you know something? Your mom and dad probably fight battles sometimes. They get so weary. They're like, God, why don't you just take me? I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn down. God, I'm just weary. I'm just worn down. God, I feel you. And you know what? They're fighting battles from grab hold hooks the devil got on them years ago when they were young. And they're trying to hold their time. They're trying to get you to avoid that same thing. Take heed and listen. Man, hate sin. I'll tell you something, brethren. I probably don't hate everything in this world like I ought to hate it. But I'm telling you what, brethren, there's some things I hate. I hate the vulgarity and the obscenity and the nudity that is just coming around every place. I hate it. You hear me? Because it's just messing people up and destroying lives. Oh, brethren, we ought to have a righteous indignation toward it. All right, listen. Again, you can be tempted with something, but not tempted. And the same temptations you are confronted with are endured by all others, saved and lost. Go to 1 Peter 5. You know what the devil still wants to isolate you? He wants to isolate you. He wants to isolate you and get you to thinking you're the only one going through it. You're the worst thing to ever want. Listen to what this pastor has to tell you. Brother, I'm telling you through the years. I promise you through the years. I promise you. It seems like continuously I've had men or women come up to me and they feel like, Brother Doss, I am the worst mom that's ever lived. I'm the worst dad that's ever lived. I can't do anything right. My family would be better off if I was dead. And you know, I see the other saints and they got it together. And I'm telling you, so often the very saint they've got it together has come up to me the day before and said the same thing. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, that's why you need to... Don't be ashamed to be real one of it. It'll help somebody. But don't you know there are brethren going around thinking that you are probably a spiritual powerhouse, and they're thinking, the devil's telling them that they are the worst thing that has ever been, and they're just ready... Sometimes they're like, why even go to church? I stink, man. I'm the worst case ever for... And you want other saints going through the same thing. They're all you're just saying that. Okay, accuse your pastor of lying then. No, I'm not saying that. It's a fact. Through the years, man, I'm telling you, listen, the same lies he's throwing on you, he's throwing on other people. The same lies he's telling you, man, I know everybody thinks I'm the worst goof that's ever been as a Christian, and you know, my family's worse, and he's telling other people the same thing. And what he's wanting to do is just keep you away from the things of God, keep you away from the brethren, keep you away from church. Well, I'm better off by myself. Well, selfish, did you ever think that maybe other people need you?
Right.
And he shows how selfish you are. Well, I don't need everybody, I just need myself. Well, thank you, Mr. and Ms. Self-Centered. You're supposed to be thinking of others and how you can benefit the body.
Right.
And you know, by being honest with one another, you get help like that. You find out others are going through it. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this room, and listen, God did not make you mind readers. So don't be volunteering everything that comes in your mind. All right, your struggles and things, okay. All right. But brethren, there's some things you just need to keep to yourself. Okay, just some things keep to yourself. God didn't make you those mind readers. Some things you need to... Brethren, did you realize that if we could read minds, you would not have a friend in the world? Do you realize if we could read minds... You would not have a relationship. You would not have a marriage left. You would not have anything left. There would be nothing left if you could read minds. You know why God did do that? Because sometimes you can't help what comes to the mind. Or sometimes what comes to the mind isn't how you really feel. You're upset at the moment or whatever. Or thoughts get in. God didn't make us mind readers. So don't feel like you need to go and say certain things. All right? Just learn that. Okay? And listen, brethren, but you do need to let others know that you go through struggles and you go through battles. Let me tell you something. When you've gone to pray and you've gone to read your Bible and you've gone through the day, there are sometimes the most blasphemous thoughts have hit your mind that you can ever imagine. And you're like, where in the world is that coming from? My, am I that? Listen, because the battle is really real. And other saints know the same kind of thing. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Do you realize you can't fight the devil if you're not sober? Because when you get stupid, I'm not talking about laughing and having a good time, but when you exceed and get stupid and foolish, you can't fight him. That's what's one of the problems I have with today's contemporary Christianity. It's stupidity. It's like you get a conference, you have these conferences, these youth conferences, and you get some guy come in, and I believe a lot of times it's how stupid can we act? How silly and foolish can we be? Brother, you need sobriety to fight a good battle. I didn't talk about humor and you know, and a good time to be alive. I didn't talk about that. I'm talking about being stupid and foolish. You need sobriety to be able to fight these battles because they're real. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. The other saints are going through it too. They are. When you feel like you are just the only one, and you're just rotten, and the others are going through it too. Brethren, I'm telling you, man, through the years, it is blowing my mind how, brethren, so many of the saints think that everybody else has got it together and doing so good, and they are just so rotten. And probably what you're thinking about other people, they're thinking about you. They're probably looking and thinking, man, I wish I could be together like that, brother, sister. And I wish I had it, you know, and man, have a prayer life, and boy, and boy, I just wish you. Now look at me, and you want to think the same thing about you. You say, no, brother, all's real. No, really, I'm telling you. Really. And so, brother, look here. You can just, the same afflictions are accomplished to your brethren in the world. We're in this fight together. And it's all right to be real and talk to one of them and say, brethren, pray for me, man, I'm some problems. In fact, brother, a lot of times you can't get help until you wouldn't be honest about yourself. You want, if you're not careful, you know what you'll do? Rather than getting some help you need, you'll keep things so in that you can't get the help you need. That's a fact. And realize, brethren, that the saints, a born-again saint of God that's walking with God, child of God, they're not going to lord anything over you or hold anything over your head. They love you. They want your benefit. They want your well-being. They want you to prosper in the Lord. All right, look here. Take your Bible. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 10. Notice what it says in verse number... By the way, somebody please get rid of these things. I keep fiddling with them, man. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Notice that. Now notice how that's worded. There is no temptation taken you. Man, that King James Bible, the Spirit of God knew how to write things. Knew how to get... Look at this. The word taken in the dictionary means this. It means caught, apprehended, captivated. Isn't that it? Isn't that the right word, man? There is no temptation taken you. Hadn't you ever heard the phrase, man, that thing just caught my eye? It just grabbed my attention. Sometimes, brethren, something will grab from the corner of your eye. It'll grab you. It'll get your attention. Man, it may be something you hear. It may be something you see. That thing will grab you. Listen, but it doesn't have to keep you. It doesn't have to keep you. All right? The Bible says this. Listen, I'll say this, but something may catch your attention and it may catch your fancy, but it doesn't have to keep you. All right? It may captivate you. It may arrest your attention immediately, but you don't have to stay captive to it. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her, if that's your intent. Listen, something may snag your eye. Brethren, the way they design clothes today, the way some of these women dress, the way the billboards are, a lot of things are going to catch your attention, but it don't have to keep your attention. Now ask yourself, did it keep your attention? Did you glance and it caught your attention. There was a billboard. But did you like, hey, don't need none of that, and go on, or did you like, and you wrecked, and you know, then you got to come up with a big lie as to why you wrecked, and you know, now you're really in trouble now. All right, you know, it caught your attention, but it doesn't have to keep it. Does it have to? Something catches your ear. If it caught your attention, it doesn't have to keep it. I get an example. Maybe somewhere, hey, brethren, it's all kinds of things. Maybe somewhere and you hear two of the saints talking and they're talking about something that's personal and you shouldn't be listening, but you can't help it. It caught your ear. Or you can't help that. Now, there's a part of your flesh that wants to say, what? You just need to walk on. The sin comes in when you... And you know, because you're trying to get all you can in here. Something may catch you. It doesn't have to keep you. Listen. Our text says, but God is faithful. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Brethren, we may not be faithful, but He is. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, brethren. Somebody's bearing something right now. Okay. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to bear it with His grace. He will make a way of escape if you want it and are looking for it. I read something Brother Ruppman said one time. He said, look, when faced with a fiery temptation, look for a fire escape. But if you're going to get fiery temptations, look for a fire escape. All right? Here's the thing, brother. That book tells you that God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, God doesn't tempt you. God does not tempt you with evil. The devil, your flesh, you're going to get temptations from all over the place. But God won't allow it to go beyond what you can bear. And guess what? He'll provide a way out. The question is, will you look for it and take it? There'll be a way out. I guarantee you, there'll be a way out. The question is, do you want it? But so often, I just couldn't help myself. Hush your line. Just go ahead and fess up. Man, I wanted it, I did it, I sinned. And I got to get right with God. Fess up. Quit that line mess. Well, you know, what could I do? That's plenty you could have done. Come on now. If Joseph had wanted to, he could have said, Joseph could have yielded to Potiphar's wife and said, what could I do? Joseph knew to do what he could. He ran, man. He got out. There's something you can do. There are things you can do. There are ways out. Listen to me, brethren. Please bear with me tonight. Temptations reveal where our heart and desires are. Temptations reveal where our heart and desires are. You know what they are a lot of times? They're a check on you. If you want to find out where you're at, you know what? God, why did God allow that? Now, God didn't tempt you with something. He may allow it maybe to help you see where you're at. But they reveal where our hearts and desires are at. Because here's the reason I say that. If you want out of the thing, don't you call God a liar. That book says God will make a way to escape. And that book don't lie. God will make a way to escape, but you've got to look for it and find it. What? And I'm not trying to be nasty, but what idiot would want to burn up in the fire? You want to use the fire, you know what you're going to do? Man, where is the fire escape? Where is the way out of here? Where is the way? Who will set a fire burn up? You look for the fire escape. Let me tell you something. Sin is more dangerous than a fire. I mean, a fire just destroys the physical body. Man, sin destroys more than just the physical part of you, though it destroys that also. Look for the fire escape. Look for the way out. It's there. It's there. There'll be some way out of that thing. Some way. Look for it and then take it. Be honest with yourself, brethren, and be honest with God. A couple more things. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. You see, brethren, it seems that the Corinthian believers were flirting around with idolatry. What had Paul already dealt with them about? He's going to deal with it more in chapter 10. This thing about eating things sacrificed to idols. They were flirting with idolatry, evidently, by time spent in going to pagan temples and eating things offered to idols. Though you may have liberty, your liberty can fall prey to your lust. You may have liberty in something, but your liberty can fall prey to your lust. Take your Bible very quickly. Go to Romans 14. Brethren, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But there is a uniqueness with things. Everybody is tempted in similar ways. But give you an example. What may be a problem for Phil might not be a problem for me and vice versa. Phil might go into some place, man. I'll tell you now, I've heard people say, man, they can lust after boats like they lust after... Now, brother, that just blows my mind. That don't just, you know, just... But some people, man, they're just like, you know... And you know what? They probably couldn't go to a boat show. They'd be slobbering all over themselves. And they'd be, you know, that person shouldn't go there. I mean, I have a hard time understanding, you know... Maybe Brother Styler knows people like that. You're in the boat business, brother. You know, but I heard a man tell me one time. Man, he lust after a boat, man. Just lust after... And so they need to stay... Man, I can... You can take me to a boat show, and I can spend all day there, man. I'm just like, wow, yeah, how about that, yeah. Yeah. How about that? That's something. Yeah. Whatever, you know. I mean, brethren, just ain't no pull on me. I can't sail. I'll throw up on you. You get me out in open water and it moves too much, I'll throw up. I'll get sick. I couldn't afford. You know what I'm saying? There's never been no draw to me. I'm a land lover. A land lover and lover. I'm both. You get. Listen, I can swim barely. I was able to listen. Yeah, if you get me in a pool, I'm going to jump close to the sides. So I can, in my ugly swimming fashion, I don't know what you call it. It can't be, it's not even a dog crawl. It's nasty, brother. It's just nasty. But it gets the job done when it needs to be done to save my life just about it, all right? You know. So, you know, boating's just not going to be anything. But you know, there's some people, man. So things are different for people. Let me make a statement to you. Everyone is a spiritual powerhouse when faced with things that don't tempt them. Everyone's a spiritual powerhouse when faced with something that don't tempt them. Oh man, you can just praise God, man. Amen. You know, you just look, praise God. It's good to grow in the Lord. Amen. It's good to get somewhere. You know, because he'll draw on you. But you know, the devil knows your thing. When you get faced with your deal, it's another story. Romans 14, verse 4. Real quick here. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. Wherefore to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Go with me to verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Amen. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And that thing works two ways. That thing works two ways, brethren. If there's something you have liberty in, don't go flaunting it in front of a brother who don't have the same liberty in it. Listen, if you believe you have liberty to do something, and you know that another brother doesn't have it, why go and talk about it in front of that brother? It's like you're taunting them and you're forcing them in a corner. And when they come back and say, well, no, brother, I just don't go along with it. You know what? You started something because you forced their hand. All right? And it works the other way. If there's something that you don't have liberty in, you know, don't be trying to... That's between you and God. All right? Between you and God. But now, brother, you go force somebody's hand and push them in a corner. Don't get upset when you force them to comment or talk. And it's a two-way street there that goes with that thing. Brethren, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Alright? And, I mean, I know the grounds that you have and know why you do or don't do some things, and that's good. But brethren, look here. Be careful about what you ever put on someone. Either way. We all must stand for the judgment seat of Christ. Now, real quick. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 10, and we're closing up with this. 1 Corinthians 10. Let me explain something. I really do. I detest going to the mall. I do, and I'm serious. You can ask my wife. Last time we had to go to the mall, we went down there for something. I told her, I said, honey, this is just about it. I said, I'm sick and tired of that. I was getting madder by the minute. Because I'm telling you, brother, every time, I don't go to the mall, but every time I've gone, it's worse every time. I'm not kidding you. I am not exaggerating. I said, this is disgusting. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Don't nobody think I'm lying, or don't nobody get here and think that I'm Mr. Spiritual Powerhouse. Now, you listen to me. I can tell you that walking through that mall, and there was junk all around. Now, listen to me. As of this point in my life, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I just didn't have no trouble ignoring that stuff. Now, brethren, we all got our battles. I'm just saying, at this point in my life, I just didn't have no trouble. I just didn't have no trouble. But you know why it vexed me? With my youngins with me, vexed the fire out of me. Tore me to pieces. It tore me to pieces. And I told her, I said, look, if we got to go there, man, find the outside entrance, go in, get out. I mean, I can't handle that kind of thing right there. Now listen, but I want to tell you something. Here's the thing. Now, brethren, I said right now in my life, I was able to walk down through there, and it just didn't, man, it just didn't. I didn't have no trouble just throwing this out. Now, brethren, come next week, I could let myself get so fleshly, I'd be a basket case. Now, I just told you that to prove a point. You know what you're not to do without what I just told you? And you know what the devil wants you to do with what I just told you? He wants you to do one of two things. One thing he might want you to do is say, Brother Doss is lying. I don't believe him. He's lying. There's no way he could go through that. Hold on. Brethren, I've known people that think that their problem is everybody's problem. That's not true. All right? Now, so the devil might get you to think, well, I'm lying. See, he's got you. All right? Or he might get you to go this route. Man, Brother Doss has got it so together. I'll never be a Brother Doss. You don't want to be. Praise God. But you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? And I said, well, man, look, Brother Doss goes through there, he had no problem. And I'm like, I'm going to fight it and all. Look around. Hey. I said, at this point in my life with that right there, but there are other things. There are other things. And I don't know what tomorrow, next week may hold. You understand me? So I'm telling you, look here. Look, you deal with your deal. But don't be going either extreme concerning other people. Don't say people are lying, but also don't think, well, man, they got it together or not. Don't do that mess. Don't play that stuff. All right, look, 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 15. Paul says, I speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. And I want to close with this. As Paul instructs the Corinthian believers, he ends up saying this, I speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. Let me say this to you. Paul here invites his reasonings and his words to be examined. Truth can stand scrutinization. If I'm giving you truth, then it should never bother me if you want to check me out. That should never bother me. If I'm giving you that book, and listen, and you go home, that's my desire to check me out what you've heard from here. Hey, that don't bug me, man. Hey, if I blew it someplace, hey, I'd like to know, man. But listen, if what I'm telling you is truth, it can stand the ultimate scrutinization. If you're putting out truth, man, it can take going under the microscope, man. Truth can stand examination. Paul, he invited. He said, judge ye what I say. Brethren, look here. If someone don't want you checking them out, a warning bell ought to go off. Truth can stand scrutinization. Notice this. Notice he says, though, I speak as to wise men. Know your place. Know your place. Proverbs 29:11. I'm closing. Proverbs 29, verse 11. Know your place. Proverbs 29:11. Truth can stand scrutinization, but be careful before you jump on tearing people apart. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Brethren, I don't ever mind you checking me out. But listen, don't you ever confront me or call me on the carpet in front of other people in this church. Let me tell you why. You're showing disrespect, and I won't be able to help your family do anything. Because you're showing disrespect. I don't mind you asking me. I don't mind you checking me out. But you behave yourself like a man. And say, don't you call me out, man. Don't you call me out in front of people. Don't you do that. You show yourself proper. You show yourself with the right attitude. You see what I'm saying? Brother Dawson, I'd like to discuss this with you. Not, hey, brother, what about... There's a whole attitude problem wrong there. There's a whole attitude problem wrong there. You see, when you do that, you're destroying what that pastor... You'd be destroying what I can do for your family. See? And you're inviting the way for contention that needs to be handled privately. Hey, brother, check me out! You're crazy if you let me preach to you and you don't check me out. You're crazy if you do that. Check me out. But listen, there's a vast difference between honest searching and a desire to stretch your stuff. And don't forget it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words. Lord, we've covered various verses tonight and different things. Oh, Father, I pray. Help us, dear God, as your Spirit will make application to us. Help us, Lord, to heed, dear God, what your Word tells us and how your Spirit directs us. Oh, Lord, help us to be careful. Help us, Lord, to be watchful and wary. Lord, that we not fall by the wayside. That we not fall prey to the traps of the enemy. Now, Father, just help us to apply what we've heard. Thank you for your word. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.